He hits one high. He hits one deep. He hits one all the way out and gone. A three-pointer for Yiner Diaz deep into the seats in Miami. And the Astros lead this game 7-1.
That was the swing that we needed there to put kind of the part of the game in a different spot for us. Once he cleared the bases there, we were okay, here we go. But quality at bats, Carlos Correa's at bats there, walking and getting those singles the other way. Altuve, that two run in the first. Those are big, especially when we're trying to kind of piece it together and trying to get some innings out of our guys. So I thought that we play really well.
That was Joe Espada, and we'll circle back to Texans training camp in just a minute, but we should acknowledge the Astros and their win yesterday. I'm going to check the standings right now. We went to bed before.
The fun thing about last night was I'm trying to figure out how I feel about Jesus Sanchez smiling all the time. It's kind of intoxicating. I feel like as soon as he goes into an extended slump, though, I think I might get tired of it.
Until he starts costing us games. That's when I'll stop liking it.
It got to the point, and then I started to wonder and worry a little bit. You know, Mauricio Dubon almost got murdered by Cam Smith as he waited for a fly ball in center field.
Yeah.
And Cam came flying in and snatched it from in front of him.
I'm like, I thought we were over this. Remember in the early in the season when everybody was almost running into each other out there?
Now, there was never a danger of a collision because Dubon was set up. Cam Smith appeared out of nowhere right in front of him to the point where Dubon actually had to check his glove to see whether the ball had landed in it or not.
Yeah.
And it was as close to angry as I think I've ever seen Mauricio Dubon. He has like a look of being slightly perturbed, which is his version of rage.
Yeah.
But that was, I don't know. I feel like the happy-go-lucky, congenial personality balance has been disrupted a little bit with Jesus Sanchez on the team.
A little, yeah, maybe.
There's just too many nice guys.
Yeah. He's infected Cam Smith with that kind of spacey attitude that he's got a little bit.
Well, I'm talking about Dubon getting peed.
Oh, Dubon. Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't have to feel the weight of being the guy who's always happy and positive.
That's
now
true.
That Jesus Sanchez is there.
He can offload some of that on Sanchez, yeah. So they get a win last night, 7-3. Altuve had a two-run home run before you could even go get a sandwich. Yiner Diaz, the big blow there that you heard, three-run home run. That was another moment. There's going to be a few of these, Seth, with Carlos Correa back here. We're like, oh, God, this is still kind of weird that Carlos is on this team.
Yeah.
Joe Espada, in that cut that we just played, going, you know, Carlos Correa had a couple good at-bats.
I'm like,
Joe Espada saying Carlos Correa's name for some reason. Like, okay, it's still a little weird.
And kind of saying it almost like in a way that he might as well have been talking about Bryce Matthews or something.
Yeah, just
like hey, you know, Carlos, he'll figure things out.
Yeah, still a little weird, man. It's still a little weird. So that was good last night. You get a win. You got two wins now against a team that was red hot coming into this series. The Marlins had been one of the hottest teams in baseball, and you've taken them to the woodshed back-to-back nights. And last night was a night where you had Okert, who I had no idea had such a bad history as an opener in his career. Mm-hmm. They were hitting that on the broadcast.
Such a bad
hard.
History that when he was pulled after five outs, he got an ovation.
Like standing ovation.
And he had like a funny smile out of him, too.
Yeah.
I was all up in my positive feelings last night.
It was good.
Look at these nice, happy guys.
It was good. And Blue Ball came in and gave you three good innings.
Oh, yeah, Blue Ball.
Blue Ball, baby.
Blue Ball came in. They simplified it for him, Sean.
Yep.
He's got six pitches, and they said, listen, man. Yeah, let's not overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
Let's simplify, whittle it down to three pitches. He's hitting 98-plus on the gun.
Which surprised everybody.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I think that's where in you can
–
Hey, you got a changeup? You got a fastball? There you go, son. There's no book on you yet. Just go out there and just keep it simple.
Three-game lead on the Mariners, four-and-a-half-game lead on the Rangers. So they're kind of keeping these teams at arm's distance.
Yeah.
We get Spencer Arrighetti back today. Excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 to see Spencer Arrighetti again out.
1,700.
Really? That much? Okay. I was a 12.
No, honestly, realistically, like I'd say like an 8. I'm going to say an 8. I don't want to, you know, I try to adopt a baseball player's mentality.
Yeah.
You know, not a kill, die.
It's a long season.
And, you know, pitchers, they take a little while sometimes to settle their feet and all that. Yeah. But an 8. I'm excited to see him. As some of the replacements start coming in from the rear here that you might this has been a strange season in that the surge that they made wasn't as dramatic as last year's surge,
mm-hmm.
and you knew You knew really in the back of your mind that they couldn't sustain that freakishly long stretch they had with the guys they had on the roster. But it still hurt when they started to fall again and when they started to lose a little of the ground they'd gained. But then we knew also that, all right, there's these guys on the IL, and they're theoretically going to come back someday. We had no idea Carlos Correa was going to come back.
No, we did not.
Not a single clue that that was going to happen.
For a minor league pitcher.
Yeah, so I'm riding the waves. I'm not keeping an even keel this season. I felt kind of a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if our listeners feel the same way, but I felt a little bit bipolar this entire season.
Oh, yeah. It's been weird, man. Yeah. It's been totally weird.
So I'm on a manic level right now, though. Yeah. I'm just entering the manic phase.
Good.
Okay?
I can't wait.
You're going to get phone calls from me at 2 a.m.
Oh, this is going
to
be great.
I'm going to get three chapters in to my autobiography that I'm writing until which I just started this morning, but that at some point it's going to all crash.
Yeah. And just so you know,
Don't let me burn the autobiography.
When Seth says you're going to get calls at 2 in the morning, he's not just talking to me. He could call any one of you.
Yeah.
At 2 in the morning.
Because I have your number from the text line.
That's right. That is true. We should just pick five random texters.
If somebody annoys me on the text line, I'm going to call them at 2 a.m.
2 in the morning, yeah.
Hey, wake up. Yeah. We got to talk about this.
Got to talk Strohs. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, hey, we got our first fight yesterday.
Yeah.
We got our first fight.
Was it the first one?
It was, well, there was a dust-up in Houston that was not really a fight.
Yeah.
It was just some pushing and shoving. And then we haven't had anything here until... Cade Stover, and this is not the fight, though. Cade Stover and C.J. Gardner-Johnson got into a bit of a dust-up yesterday.
Yeah. Cade Stover caught a pass in the flat. Yeah. C.J. Gardner-Johnson gave him a hard contact. It was kind of driving him.
They went to the ground.
Right. But I don't know if they were going to go to the ground, but Cade Stover kind of put C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a headlock.
Okay.
And then they ended up going to the ground. It was a scrum. It got broken up, but then Cade Stover was PO'd and
you like this.
Pointing at the defense as he's going back to the huddle.
Yeah.
And he's got a pretty badass bunch of tattoos on his arm.
Does that true? When you point and you have tattoos, it looks more badass.
Yeah, as long as your arm's not too flabby like mine are these days.
Right.
And he's got a beard this year too.
Yeah.
He looked like a Grizzly Adams type about to fight a grizzly bear.
So that was good, but that was just it was a lot of talk, a lot of pointing. At that point, I turned to Mark Vandermeer, who I was sitting with at practice. I said, well, if we're not going to get a fight out of the farm boy from Ohio and the perpetual line stepper in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, if that's not going to turn into fisticuffs, then nothing is.
Yeah.
And then two plays later, Dalton Schultz and Russ Yeast happened.
Yeah.
And what happened there was Dalton Schultz, something about tight ends and safeties, I guess. Dalton Schultz catches the ball kind of going to the ground. Yeast kind of launches himself missile style at Dalton Schultz and looked like we're kind of far away from our vantage point, but it looked like he came up above the neck. It looked like he came towards his head. And they both got up, stared at each other. Dalton Schultz took the ball and threw it at Russ Yeast's feet. Russ Yeast clearly said something because there was a long pause where they were looking at each other.
Yeah.
Because he said something and Dalton Schultz just started sprinting. He was sprinting at him like Roman Reigns getting ready to spear a guy, man. It was, and they went to the ground and there was a scuffle. There were arms moving.
Yeah.
That one.
There were fists being thrown. Punches being thrown.
Fists of fury.
I didn't. That one, I was off to the side and I couldn't see it as well. Yeah. I missed all that one.
Yeah. So
I missed the best thing that's happened in camp this year from the offense.
Yeah.
The
fight. Well, I think they took Dalton out after that.
Yeah.
Like to cool off. And I'm like, no. This might be the shot in the arm that the offense needs. Like, there was a lot of chirping going on.
Get back in there and call 10 straight runs.
Yeah. I wanted that to turn into something football.
You wanted D'Amico to completely lose his composure and all sense of responsible stewardship of this football team.
That would be
unique.
You
wanted seven guys on the IR just so you could prove a point,
No, I didn't want anybody to get hurt. I just wanted it. I wanted the offense to, running like three or four running plays where hopefully that disrespect – that Yeast and C.J. Gardner-Johnson are showing them. And I don't know if it's disrespect, but that's how they should internalize it.
Maybe they'd already had some good inside runs before that, so I'm not going to give it credit there. But I think it's a little bit of a testament to maybe the offense coming out and having a little bit of a chip on their shoulder yesterday.
Yeah.
And just that
they were bad on Monday, man.
Yeah, they were bad. They were bad in a lot of respects. You could see it just in the way their body language after practice. You could see it. I'm guessing that they got a pretty hard talking to and got challenged by their coaches before that. You know, that you're watching film that night and guys are saying, look, man, you want to put it on film tomorrow?
Yeah.
You want to put that on film tomorrow? And to their credit, I thought the offense came out and played a more physical brand of football the next day.
Christian Harris and Damian Pierce were working out off to the side yesterday. They were in pads. They looked like they were ready to go do stuff. Instead, they did stuff off to the side. Here was D'Amico Ryans when he was asked about the two of them after practice yesterday.
Yeah, Christian and Damon, they're chomping at the bit to get out here. Yeah, I have to hold those guys back because they're ready to go. They want to practice. They want to be out here. And they're definitely making a lot of progress. They're in a really great spot. It's cool to see them out, you know, in their pads finally. I know it's great for them. Anytime you're on the side, you're rehabbing, those type of things, just mentally, like, you want to get back out with the guys. And so today was a big day for them to get back out here, go through some of our walkthrough periods, put the pads on. It was a great day for them.
So, I mean, if we're being honest, it was largely the same for them yesterday, just in pads.
Yeah.
You know, they were wearing football uniforms and pads yesterday.
They're easy. I'm guessing at this point it's that they're being very cautious about how they're handling
that's them. What it sounds like, just based on that cut from D'Amico.
Yeah, and like, if they could have put, you know, they didn't put Christian Harris on the PUP because, as Nick Caserio had said, they just want him to be able to participate in some things. So I think when we've learned this from various Astros injuries and whatnot, when it's a mysterious injury, you kind of almost have to say, all right, we're stepping way back. If this calf injury didn't heal over the course of a couple months last year, we're going to take every ounce of time, and we want you feeling really good for 2 or 3 months before you go back out there.
It might be kind of like what Jordan, the hand thing with Jordan. I don't know, man.
I forgot about Jordan.
Yeah. Well, and we forgot about Christian Harris last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's out of sight, out of mind. Here was D'Amico Ryans. He got asked about each guy individually as well. He's saying Christian Harris has been dialed in.
No, it's not a challenge getting Christian back. It's just a matter of him, like, being in a good spot where he can come out and they'll play well. He's been dialed in. He's been in a ton of meetings, a ton of walkthroughs on the side, even though it hasn't been live, full-speed reps. Coach Davis and Coach Ben Bolin have done a great job of, you know, putting him in positions, getting him mental reps, and he's done a great job of handling that. So when he comes back, it's nothing new to him. It's just a matter of getting back into playing football. So there's no challenge there.
That becomes an interesting room when he comes back.
EJ Speed has done some impressive things. He's been running with the ones at times at practice. So the linebackers with EJ Speed, Christian Harris coming back, Henry Toa, Azeez Alshire. Jamal Hill is intriguing.
Okay, I didn't even have him written down.
Well, he's a young guy drafted last year. Jamal Hill was a guy who was a safety in college, much like Fred Warner was.
Yeah.
And it was very, very raw. Safety, played linebacker, I think, just his final year at Oregon.
Yeah.
And
he's done some things out here,
too. Very raw. He's very athletic.
Yeah,
you know,
very
he's put
athletic.
Together well.
So you named four names, though, that are, like, Azeez is making the team, obviously. Henry Toa is making the team, obviously.
Yeah.
If Christian Harris is healthy, he's on this team.
Yeah.
EJ Speed, I feel like, is like 85% chance to make the team. He's running with the ones yesterday.
I'd be really, and he's a good special teams player, like, depending on how they use him as a linebacker.
Not a lock those other guys are, but he's close to it. And then, like you say, Jamal Hill, the other two names I had written down, Nick Neiman is a guy they signed who is a special teams ace. And Jake Hansen's a guy who's been on the team for 3 years now, and he's been doing some good things.
And he's another guy, too, that gives you a lot of versatility because he's not necessarily ideal size, but he's very,
very
fast.
They're not all going to make the team.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, Neiman, at least so far in his career, has been almost exclusively a special teams guy.
Yeah.
So, but they might see upside him as a linebacker. I mean, that's EJ Speed's story.
Yeah.
EJ Speed was just a special teams guy in Indianapolis his first few years, ended up becoming a starting linebacker for him. So they might think that Neiman has that potential as well.
Here was D'Amico on Damian Pierce and how he's been doing.
Yeah, Damian has played a lot of good football in his career. He's rushed for over 1,000 yards. He's made, you know, those home run plays. He's done it as the kick returner. So he's just a well-rounded player who is not new for him. The game isn't too big for him. And when the lights are on, Damian, we know he can go out and perform well. So whenever that time comes for him to get back out there, it's just exciting. Be exciting to see him out there.
Okay, and similarly, with the running back room, we know Joe Mixon's making the team. It appears as Nick Chubb is on track to make the team. He's running with the ones, and he ran well yesterday, and he's Nick Chubb. Dario Gumbawale is sort of a wild card because of how they view him as a special teams guy. He gets third down reps with the ones. He's their third down back right now. I think ultimately that's going to be Woody Parks, who also is making the team. You drop Damian in there now, and then you got these other guys who've been, you know, Juwan Jordan's done some good things in camp. I don't think J.J. Taylor's making the team. Well, he's done some good things.
Other thing you got to keep in mind with Damian as well is that he's been injured a lot. You know, he's had
– Every year.
Yeah. And how much do you use that when you're planning and building out your team? I do get a little bit nervous if they feel like, okay, Nick Chubb's at a point where we can rely on him to do at least a certain amount at the beginning of the year, but Joe Mixon's coming off of injury, you're still not 100% certain exactly what Nick Chubb's health is going to be like or where he is in terms of getting back to his peak or how much he can handle. Mm-hmm. Damian Pierce's injury history gets me a little bit nervous. But I guess the flip side of that is I do think that between Jawar Jordan and Woody Marks and not to mention just British Brooks and just other guys that are potential options, they will have options. It's not your ideal option, obviously, but if your top two running backs are out, nobody's got ideal options.
That's correct. All right, we are live at the Greenbrier just outside the Sports Performance Center, sitting at the 25-yard line of the Texans practice field, and we've got you covered here all day long on Sports Radio 610, so keep it tuned here. Seth and I will be bumping on with the other shows again today, as we've been doing throughout the week. 1240 today within the loop. We've switched it to 520 today with the drive. They've got Robert Flores coming on at 340 and then 740 with Area 45. So keep it tuned. We are your eyes and ears here at Texans training camp. Up next, headlines. We will dive deeper into practice yesterday with the Texans here at training camp. Also, the Astros win. We'll circle back to that. The NFL was busy spending money yesterday. Not the NFL, sorry, ESPN. ESPN was busy making deals yesterday with the NFL and with another entity that 10 years ago you would have said, these guys are partnering up. We'll tell you who that is in headlines. We'll do that coming up next.